they're spiraling just like you.
Welcome to Spiraling Season 3.
Welcome to Spiraling Season 3. This is such a huge day. This is so exciting. I feel like, funnily enough, Katie and I have been... I feel like we spent more time planning this season than past seasons. Not so much the planning, just like having a lot of preemptive conversations because we weren't quite ready to record. Like we were just in different work phases and we're like, well, we're not quite ready, but we should be still briefing each other on our spirals. So there feels like there was an interim season that nobody was privy to that was quite a thrill.
Yeah. I don't think we were planning really. I think they just call that like being friends.
But it was under the pretext of like, we were always like, we were going to discuss the plan for season 3. And then that never really happened.
Yeah. I think if we lived in the same place and it hadn't been a pandemic, they would have just called that like getting dinner, you know?
Yes.
Like, but
yes.
We were just like, yeah, really. I feel very caught up and close to you. And I feel like I really felt that way. I would have told you this before we started recording and I just didn't have a chance. But basically last week, Serena and I had a really long conversation, planning session in quotes for this. But I think maybe we talked about spiraling for maybe 5 to 10 minutes out of our nearly 2 hour phone call. So it was just like a much needed catch up. And I got up and I was like, God, I'm just so happy. I mean, I did tell you this. I'm so happy that I wandered into your apartment sad after a breakup, like crying, and we recorded an episode of my podcast and then got the idea for this. And I kept coming every week after that. And then I'm really happy that 3 years later, I've now...
Here we are.
...dates, and we're still doing this somehow.
Still
and
doing this.
I'm so happy. And it never would have happened, you know, if that period of time that we were in the same place hadn't happened. And I'm really, really happy it did. And I'm happy for our friendship. And, you know, it's, you can't manufacture closeness and friendship. And, you know, thinking back to even season 2 last year was, you know, recording that with you last summer was such a moment in time. And
oh my God, that feels like, And it was such a huge part of pandemic life, I think, for both of us, but also that feels like an eternity ago. Like it's really, I don't know. It's, we all know that everything is a time warp now. And here we are, but season 3, and it's also, it feels like a huge accomplishment. And you all know this, Nate, like you are our people. We are a small but mighty podcast and we have soldiered on and we are now in our 3rd season. And I love you so much. And I'm just so grateful for this project and also for everybody listening. We really do love and appreciate you and feel very close to you just because this format allows you to really get to know us. And we've been lucky enough to have corresponded with so many of you over the years, the literal years since we started doing this. So hallelujah. Cheers to season 3. We are doing something fun today. I'm actually really, really excited about today's episode because we are going to kick things off by reintroducing ourselves and also doing a little recap of our individual anxiety, quote unquote, journeys. I have a feeling there might be some first-time listeners today. Maybe you found the podcast through me. This is my voice. I'm Serena. Or maybe you found it through Katie and you don't really know much about the other person here. Maybe you started listening, you know, to a specific episode in season 2 or never listened to the first episode of season 1 and don't know fun facts about us or sort of how we came to be doing this podcast in the first place. But we thought we would obviously do our best to keep it tight, which you may or may not know we are deeply terrible at.
Super bad.
We are going to just tell you each a little bit about ourselves. I don't know, Katie, do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
Sure.
We did not plan this part out.
Well, you know, I'm just going to be so level with everyone. I'm really excited for this episode. And I also am just kind of like having an anxiety day, season, month, life. And I feel bad that I didn't, we said in our 10 minutes of planning on our friend phone call last week, we're like, okay, we're both going to have our questions and let's send each other our questions by Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday and it was holiday weekend and whatever. And I kept it in the back of my mind and just forgot. And we ended up coming up with questions and we're going to do these questions now. And one thing I love about this podcast is that we can just show up and it can be like loose and off the cuff. And we genuinely like each other. We genuinely like showing up for these episodes, which usually this is not a typical one. This is like going to be light, fun questions, but usually we share our spirals. And the format of this is that we each share something that we are spiraling about. And then we go into a topic, which today is going to be really light. And then we share a segment called High, Higher, Highest. And if you've been listening for a long time, thank you. And you know that. And the fact that like I get to do this podcast with you, who's my favorite person to have a joint project with and is so forgiving and easy and light. And I was just talking to someone about it like last week and I'm like, this is one of the only collaborations that I have. And it's been like, there's been nothing but goodness in it. And it's been filled with so much ease. And that just really speaks to you. And I just think we're two people who really care about each other. And I love to have an excuse to get to talk to you and record it. And so thank you to everyone for allowing us to do that. It really means so much. And I hope we do many, many more seasons. And it was really nice. Like Serena posted something about us talking last week or about us having our, you know, planning sessions. And every time I would repost it and I would get messages. I meant to send you a screenshot of this, but someone was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Can you give me any hints about season 3? And I was like, God, that's oh my so God. Cool. And I had even more, like there were multiple people who have said that to me and I'm honestly shocked. Like sometimes I'm just like all three of you listening, like it's really, really mind-blowing to me. And I'm really grateful for my anxiety for allowing me to be here. I'd like to thank my mental health. Yes.
I also think like I feel the same way. You know, I do about everything you just said. And we know that Katie is the earnest one. but I feel exactly the same way. And I sometimes wonder, and this is an existential question that is going to throw us off track so we can't get into it. But I wonder if like, if Katie's magical thinking had led us to our stadium tours, if this would still be the, you know, our favorite thing to do and like the best collaboration, because I truly feel like some things, you know, when you do group projects and like, you feel like one person's carrying all the weight, like I never feel like that with you at all. And I also feel like there's no, but like at the same time, we have our three listeners.
So you're not mad at me for not thinking of great questions for this?
No, I would never. Although I am really excited to dive into these. So
yeah, yours were better. Mine were like, I literally went to like an internet conversation starters and I was like, these are terrible. And to be honest, I do think we have, and this is a good preface for everyone, we'll both briefly tell about our anxiety situations. But you can go back and listen to an episode. I think it's season 1, episode 1, where we both really get into it, the backstory. And then also with these questions, we have done multiple light questions like this before that are like all-time favorites and number one thing. And who knows, they might not even be the same anymore because it was 3 years ago, but that is there. And I think we even did like an interim fun version of this when we were between seasons. So there's, if you like this, there's more of where this came from that you can get back to if you're new here.
Yes, definitely. I also just noticed like, we have a Google Doc that we share with each other where we put notes and questions and things. And I just realized that it says spiraling instead of spiraling.
Oh my God.
I'm wondering if it said that for all three seasons and we literally never noticed.
My God. Probably me.
Reintroduction briefly.
We're real loose here.
We are clearly rusty. We're going to sharpen our skills. Okay. So I am Serena. How quickly can I do this? After college, I went to culinary school at Le Cordon Bleu Paris, came home, had no clue what I was going to do with my life, didn't want to be in a restaurant, I'd started a food blog, domesticatemoi.blogspot.com. It's now domesticatemoi.com, which again, like, needs to be changed to serenawolf.com at some point. So bear with me.
Domesticate moi.
Yeah, domesticatemoi.blogspot.com had a pink background. Blogspot was like the rage back then. And I wanted to be on television. That clearly did not pan out. It's 10 years later. Still hasn't panned out, but we remain ever hopeful.
And your IG television.
Yes, exactly. While I was building my blog back in the day when like true blogs were a thing, I was also a private chef, did some teaching, was a hostess, did freelance recipe development, et cetera. And then I started a column on my blog called The Dude Diet back in 2011, where I wrote a one-off post about Logan, my then boyfriend, now husband, that was meant to be a joke about his deeply absurd eating habits. And that sort of was my big blog break. And I mean, let's be realistic here. I got like 5 emails from people and was like, I've made it. This is it. This is the pinnacle of success here. People are interested in this column. So it became a weekly column chronicling comfort food recipes that I was making healthier because Logan hated healthy food. And that really took off, led to my first cookbook, The Dude Diet, and the sequel, The Dude Diet Dinner Time. But while I was working on those books, I was also, Katie, when we met post book one, when I was starting book two.
Well, we met right when book one had come out before I had moved to New York. Because Jess connected us for you to do a podcast that I was going to do.
Yes.
How we met. That never happened, but I was going to
still love that idea.
You and Logan for it.
I still think that's a genius idea.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it. Maybe so that's our next collaboration.
That's our next collaboration. I would love to talk to people about their stories. But I was working on those books, also still blogging. Instagram came around like somewhere sort of just pre-book one, because I got that deal in beginning of 2015. And like in my mind, Instagram started in 2014, even though I know it was earlier than that. I know it was like 2012. I just was not super active on it.
And stories didn't exist until
16 or so. And that was sort of where I really leaned into the social media stuff. Like prior to that, I've always been terrible at in-feed posts. And I feel like you and I talk about this all the time too. Like if I'm going to tell a story, I need the long format of a blog or like the talking format of stories. And so I just panic when it comes to posting things in my feed. And I vacillate between ridiculous long form captions and being like blue for Tuesday, you know, because I'm wearing like a blue shirt. I just don't even know what to do with myself. Anyway, that's besides the point. But over the past, like my second book came out right before the pandemic, and I was sort of 2/3 of the way through my book tour when shit really hit the fan. And I did a pivot. I had already sort of pivoted into like the lifestyle space a couple years before and started sharing more things about skincare and mental health stuff. I'd been like a big mental health advocate prior to Katie and I starting this podcast, because it's just always been something that I'm very, very passionate about. And I had quit private chefing to focus more on like the book stuff and the blog and Instagram, et cetera. And then in March of 2020, I did my first virtual cooking class, which feels like an eternity ago. And that ended up building out a huge new arm of my business that is now honestly my primary focus. I launched a monthly cooking subscription. So I teach weekly public classes and then also host private and corporate events. And then I've also sort of talent for hire. I'm just like listing things that I do. So, but it's always really hard to describe what we do, because I feel like Katie and I both wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
It's a thing I used to feel really self-conscious about. And now I'm kind of proud of it, because I think it's cool that we can build careers that look very different than careers in the past. And it's, you know, I, dependent on who I'm talking to, I say that I do something different. I usually just say I work in food unless I'm pressed on it. But I also do talent for hire stuff and like, you know, TV segments, promotional stuff for brands. And, you know, I think down the line, that is all part of my larger plan to still be on camera, even though it's taking a very long time. But, you know, persistence is 90% of the battle. My favorite advice is it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So this is your 10. Keep your fingers crossed.
You are meant to be on TV.
I think we're coming up. I think like technically January is your 10. So, or like is the end of your 10. So we've still got a good 6 months left in us. Keep your fingers crossed for me, people. But yeah, so that is who I am that I just told you in a very unsuccinct manner. And my anxiety story, thank you. In a nutshell, also wild to think about the fact that now I am on year 12 with my anxiety, which has...
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Which honestly has added some very terrible things into my life, but also some very wonderful things, including this podcast. But I had my first panic attack in 2009, the week of my graduation from college, which makes a lot of sense. So we don't need to delve into the obvious psychological factors that played into that right now. But uncertainty has always been a big anxiety trigger for me. So the uncertainty of graduating from college with no plan probably explains a lot. Anywho, I basically developed a panic disorder after that first panic attack and had panic attacks on a regular basis, very severe ones for a very long time, like almost a year. And luckily, I was already in therapy at the time that I developed my anxiety. We love therapy so much. I still see the same therapist. I think he is a wonderful therapist and has had such a profoundly positive impact on my life. But he was able to sort of guide me through that first year while I built up management strategies to get these panic attacks under control, but also sort of manage my generalized anxiety as well. And I feel it's very important to mention because we do our best to cover all facets of anxiety on this podcast. But I was on Lexapro for over a year while I was sort of figuring things out. And it was essential in sort of freeing up enough space in my head to actually like work on my anxiety. And that again was over 10 years ago. And I have had generalized anxiety for the past decade. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes I go months feeling great, almost no anxiety. I went pre-pandemic, it had been like well over a year between my last panic attack and the first panic attack I had during the pandemic, which was super fun. But I think anxiety always ebbs and flows. I'm not a big believer in curing anxiety. I don't think that's possible. I do think it's very possible to manage it. And the reason we started this podcast, which we like to dub the Optimistic Anxiety Podcast, is that we're never really trying to get rid of our anxiety. We're just trying to manage it. And it's much easier to manage when you have open conversations about it and ask for help when you need it and share resources and stories with other people who are going through similar things, because so many people have anxiety. I know we talk about this all the time, but in case somebody's new, like, it's not just us placating you when we say that you're not alone. It's like literally, a doctor DM'd me recently and said that over 1 in 5 patients presents with anxiety these days, which is bananas. So you are definitely not alone.
That has grown.
Yeah, it's grown this past year significantly. So if you're new to anxiety, I promise you, also it gets better.
Welcome.
It gets easier to manage. Welcome to the club. Also, anxious people are the best people. Like truly, I truly think that anxious people, I think having anxiety speaks to like being sort of deeply thoughtful about one's existence and the state of the world and how we move through it. And it's personally made me a much more empathetic human being. And I think that just like managing anxiety and going about your day-to-day life, like I think that we're all incredibly awesome and strong because we are overcoming something difficult regularly, if not on a day-to-day basis. And that's pretty fucking badass. So that is all of my things.
I love you. I'm so happy we get to do this. Nice. So I guess my turn?
Yes.
Well, it's so hard. This is such a hard thing to do to keep tight. I don't know. If people want to find out like way more about it, they can, or we'll
yes, ask yes,
more.
Yes.
But one thing, when you were talking, It's funny. And this is something that I never clocked about us is like our joint TV dreams.
Yes.
Because when I was, and I always joke now, like podcasting didn't exist and turns out I have a face for podcasting, you know, but
that was a lie, but continue.
You do not, but I, and no more, we won't, this won't be the self-deprecating hour, but I studied broadcast journalism in college. I wanted to be, I was like a theater kid in high school. And so, but I was like, well, I'm not going to be an actress, but like, what could I do? Like, what could I study in school? Like I always liked performing and being seen. And I did the announcements in school and I like was in our TV news classes, and my teacher's husband was our local news anchor. And I babysat his kids. And like, I just, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a, like a local news TV. I mean, I wanted to be Katie Couric at the time, but like, I, you know, you have to work your way up 10 years and go somewhere and report on, you know, agriculture and like Iowa and a really remote spot and work your way up. And so I studied TV news and broadcast journalism in college. And one of the prereqs for that was radio. And so in that radio class, I learned about podcast editing and I learned, or not podcast editing, I learned about radio editing and I learned about making a radio show. And this was, I graduated from college in 2012. So this was like 2010, 2011. And podcasting really didn't exist. You know, I think the earliest podcasts, I have this workshop that helps people start podcasts now because I started my first podcast, Let It Out, in 2013, which was still really, really early for podcasts. But, and you know, eventually I made this workshop where I help other people start podcasts. And in that, I get into the history of podcasting. And it started as early as when the iPad came out, but really it didn't become popular until the iPhone and, you know, around like 2010, 2011, 2012. And then, you know, I feel like in the last 5 years, it's now like everyone and their brother has a podcast. But essentially after college, I, and this will lead into my anxiety story, you know, my anxiety is really related to, and I don't get into this a ton on this podcast, but the more I've been unpacking it and in therapy and in, I, unlike Serena, have had a ton of different therapists and done a lot of different treatment, but the, I grew up in the Midwest, I grew up in Michigan, and I didn't even know what therapy was other than, or like the term mental health. Like I really like barely knew what those things were. Like no one I knew ever went to therapy or ever talked about mental health in any sort of way. And what got me into therapy and to realize that, you know, there was something to examine here was really physical, because in college, I had a, at the very end of college, during the time when I was doing all these TV news classes, I had a really gnarly eating disorder and, you know, had it probably since high school, but like it was very visible at the end. And I was like really sick and it was really scary. And you know, had to go to a lot of doctors and do, you know, be in this in treatment program. And I, because of that, got into therapy somewhat young, you know, around the same time as Serena. And that's when I was, you know, diagnosed of like, okay, well, an eating disorder is a mental health situation and just, you know, a symptom of anxiety and depression and all these other terms that I was now learning. And I'm really grateful for that. But it's also really funny because it changed the course of my life and my work, because at that time I was so in my eating disorder that I was really addicted to, it's an addiction, right? So I was addicted to, it kind of morphed its way into orthorexia, which is an obsession with healthy food and healthy eating, and to the point where, you know, really damages your mental health. And because of that, I was really into wellness. And at that time, you know, wellness now is the mainstream, right? Like now everyone, especially Gen Z, is like into well-being and yoga, and it's part of our culture now, not just in certain areas, but it's really everywhere. But at the time it was niche and it was kind of my thing. And so I feel like I really missed my college and my 20s because I was in that, right? Like I was really in my orthorexia at the time. And because of that, it even changed the course of my career. I started a blog called The Wellness Wonderland. And, you know, I think there's something that my friend Christy Harrison, who's a eating disorder specialist, and she hosts the podcast Food Psych, which is like such an amazing resource for anyone with eating disorders. So if you're listening and relate at all to what I'm saying, or have, you know, that's part of your mental health, you know, really highly recommend Food Psych and reading her book, Anti-Diet. But anyway, Christy talks about how in this, there's this great study called the Minnesota Starvation Experiment, which could never happen now. But basically, it was right after World War II when we've talked about this before on the podcast, but they studied men and they like put their, I think it's in the episode where we talk about vanity, but anyway, I'm going to keep this tight. But basically, it's really common for people when they lowered their calories to a point where they were having an eating disorder, and they got really into exercise and food, and many of them became chefs, and many of them became fitness coaches. You know, this is so many years ago, but it's really, really common that when your career is in a malleable place, that when your mind's in this malleable place, you'll change complete directions of your life. So like, you know, going back to what I wanted to do was be a TV news reporter, journalist. I ended up having a wellness blog and teaching yoga, and I ended up working a full-time job on the side to kind of ramp this up, and started my then blog, turned into a podcast called the Wellness Wonderland Radio in 2013. And then one day I kind of woke up and I was like, oh, I'm not even into wellness. That was an addiction of like me. I just wanted to be thin, to be liked, to be accepted, you know, and really I needed to like work on my mental health and work on what true well-being to me isn't green juice and yoga and supplements. It's connection and friendship and creativity. And so the show morphed with me. And so now the podcast that was called The Wellness Wonderland became Let It Out. And I ended up writing a book about journaling, because journaling was a really helpful tool for me to deal with a lot of this. And eventually, you know, the book came out. The podcast now has over 340 some episodes. And in that time,
I cannot believe that, Katie. That's so impressive.
Thanks. Yeah,
it really is.
It's wild. Also, never made it on TV, but have done a lot of.
I have faith in us.
Maybe Spiraling will be a talk show someday soon. There's my magical thinking coming in. Yes, anyway, definitely. That's basically it. I moved a bunch of times. I'm from Michigan, and then I moved to New York, which is where I met Serena, and a mutual friend of ours connected us. And coming up to the present, Serena was really helpful in me understanding my anxiety. It was like a term that had been tossed around in these different therapist offices that I had been in over the years, but really like working with my eating disorder and then becoming friends with Serena and her work and her talking about her anxiety. Every time I'd be like, oh, I have that. I do that. And then, you know, we, you know, became friends. And then the time when she came on my podcast, Let It Out, I was going through like a big breakup and I was really anxious, and we got the idea for Spiraling and, you know, became friends, and, you know, here we are. And so that really helped. The biggest thing that Serena helped me with, and I want to say this now, even though I've said it a million times, because I think it's really important, is articulating my anxiety and sharing about my anxiety to other people. And we did a whole episode on that. And I think that that's one of the greatest things that Spiraling can do for people who have anxiety or people who love someone with anxiety, because it can feel really isolating and lonely. And like now, I feel like most of my friends have anxiety and we talk about it. And it's like great that we do that, you know? But I don't think I think in 2017, before we started this, I barely like knew what it was enough to speak about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think part of that is the world changing. And I'm not saying that this podcast is responsible for any of that, but I do think it's a great resource and it's helped me a lot.
I think that was our goal, not necessarily giving people the tools to articulate their anxiety, but more just always making people feel seen and supported. And I think that has been one of the best things too. Like I feel like I didn't even notice, because by the time we started this podcast, I'd been talking about my anxiety for so long in therapy, on my blog, on social media, et cetera, and had gotten so good at sort of just being open about not just how I was feeling, but also how I liked to be supported, how I was navigating like my day to day with this, how symptoms can change over the years and the way that I experienced anxiety, you know, in 2019 when we started this versus 2011 was very, very different. And so that just always makes me really happy when you say that, because I think language is so difficult and also such a game changer for being able, especially being able to communicate anxiety in close relationships, because everybody likes to be supported so differently, just like we all experience our anxiety so differently.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, did you grow up with, I forget if we've spoken about this, with talking about mental health or therapy, or was it part of, I know a little bit about this, but
not really. No. I mean, I'm lucky in that I have a family who now is very much on board with therapy, and pretty much every family member is in therapy, I think. And my parents got divorced when I was, you know, 15. And I think both of them were concerned about how I was handling it. So they sent me to therapy then for a short stint. It was never really taboo in my family, though. So when I did develop anxiety, it was not something that I felt ashamed to discuss with my family, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then also over the years, I think as family members, friends, et cetera, have been in therapy, but also just as it's become a more common societal conversation, I think that for a lot of people close to me who deal with anxiety, again, they hadn't been able to necessarily name it for most of their lives. So it'd been something that they'd been dealing with sort of in an unknowing way. And I can reflect on my past, like my pre-panic attack days and like childhood, and see anxiety markers were there, but I didn't experience it quite as intensely as I have in my adult life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, same. Like I'm like, oh, I've always been this way. Like I've always been depressed. I've always been anxious. And I come from a sea of eating disorders, and I come from a sea of anxious people, but there just wasn't the language or understanding, or, you know, and still isn't in my case. And, you know, that's why I think that's the case for a lot of people, even though it is becoming more spoken about in the world, especially after the pandemic. But it's nice to have this place that we can put this, and I'm happy that we do.
Yes. We are so proud that this season of Spiraling is presented by BetterHelp. Katie and I have been huge proponents of therapy always, but especially on this podcast. BetterHelp is a dream sponsor for us, and we are so thrilled to be helping to spread the word about their incredible therapy services.
Is there something that's needling you or holding you back that you really just want to talk out? I often feel this way, and I love therapy because I don't want to always have to put that burden on my friends and my family.
We love therapy so much. You know this.
So much.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating with them in under 48 hours.
It's not a crisis hotline. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which might not be locally available in many areas.
Yes. And the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist whenever you need to.
You'll get a timely, thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's also more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available, which is so great.
I love that. And I love that you can change therapists, because as we've talked about, it might take a minute to find the right one for you. Yes. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read so many testimonials that are posted daily.
There are truly so many testimonials, and they're very heartwarming. Visit betterhelp.com/spiraling. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. So if you are a therapist, perhaps check that out. And we have a special offering for Spiraling listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/spiraling. That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/spiraling.
We love BetterHelp.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Spiraling. It means so much to Serena and I. And I am interrupting to tell you a little bit about our work. So Serena is leading cooking classes, and I think that she is the most fun person to be around and cook with. So if you are considering taking one of her classes, sign up. She is doing them all the time. And check out her books. She has two amazing cookbooks that I love so much. And obviously, we love Serena. And I think you would really like her cookbooks if you know her from Spiraling. And I also want to tell you about my workshop that I lead, which is called In Process. And it is, in fact, In Process. It's starting again, semester 3 of my 4-month creative community support group workshop. So what we do is we meet once a month for 4 months. We do it in semesters, and then we take some time off, and then we come back. And it's really simple. It's a way to connect with people who maybe are wearing a lot of hats, want to have more creativity and productivity in their lives, and just become more present. It's in process because we are all constantly in process, growing and becoming more of ourselves. A lot of the things we talk about here on Spiraling. So the way it works, what it actually is for 4 months, they are each themed. So the first month is creating space. It's a positive feedback loop for creativity. The second month is all about gathering. So taking in inspiration and experiences. The third month, so the bottom of the circle, is all about trying. So throwing things at the wall, seeing what sticks, getting messy. And then the final month is sharing, putting something out there into completion. And then we do it all over again, starting with creating space in our homes, in our inboxes, in our lives, editing, and then again, moving through the entire process. So each month we meet 3 times a month. The first time is a theme call where I meet with everyone on Zoom and we talk about what we're working on, and I give somewhat of a Dharma talk about the theme, and we all connect and really get to know each other. Then we have a guest artist. So these are friends of mine, usually people who have been on the podcast, and we've had musicians, painters, we've had collage artists, we've had feng shui consultants, chefs, we've had filmmakers, writers, actors, and you can find the complete list on the website. And then the last time we meet each month is a productivity session where we do 2 Pomodoro techniques, which is a productivity technique that I use and love. And then between those, we take a break together, and it's a time to be really productive and make progress on something. There's also a really active online community, and we break people up into small groups as well. If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would love to have you send me an email if you have any questions, katie@katiedilbout.com, or of course, just send me a DM on Instagram. I'm @katiedilbout.
You guys, we are going to discuss some rapid fire questions that are very entertaining, hopefully, and will probably be difficult for us to answer because, you know, Katie and I are both wildly indecisive, but let us kick things off. What is your current favorite treat, Katie? And this can be interpreted however you like. It doesn't have to be a food thing if you don't want it to be.
Okay. I instantly went to food. I'll say something kind of interesting. You grew up in California, so maybe you know what I'm talking about, but if you've listened to our bridge season, you know I hurt my hands really badly recently, and I couldn't cut anything up. And I talked about this as like a highest, but there's something called the LA fruit carts. They're everywhere, and they have like cut up. They kind of had it in New York, but it wasn't as good, where there would be like on the street someone with like cucumber and mango and like tahini, but they have them everywhere in New York, and there's a ton of them, in LA, and there's a ton of them in my neighborhood. And there was this really nice man that I would walk by every day, and he has a fruit cart, and there's jicama and every kind of fruit you could ever want. And you can get like lime or whatever you want on it. And when my hands were so hurt, I couldn't really cut fruit. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the fruit cart. I like always waved to this man, like, I'm going to actually like get it today. And I did. And it was amazing. And so I've kept, now that my hands are better, I still am going to the fruit cart, my friend Mario's cart. And it's such a treat. And I love papaya and like cold fruit in the summer. And sure, it's been sitting out in the sun and sure, it's standing there, but I love it.
That makes me very happy. And also for some reason, I just want to voice what I imagine at least a portion of our listeners are thinking when you said papaya, because papaya is a very controversial fruit.
Is it? Do you hate it?
To many of us, papaya tastes like vomit. I'm not sure why, but I've had so many conversations about papaya over the years. And then funnily enough, maybe it doesn't taste like vomit to all people, but it's like a very divisive, like people really don't like it. And then I think it's Logan who is always like, is papaya, he gets papayas and mangoes confused.
Oh my God.
And so if I like take one out, he's like, is that the vomit one? But he means papayas. And I'm like, no, because I don't like papayas either. So just assume that everything is a mango.
Funny. I did not know that you don't like papaya. Wow.
Despise. Wow. It's one of my few despised foods.
Very interesting. And it's one of my favorite.
This is good though. We're supposed to have, it's like people always say that in relationships, you're supposed to have one person that like loves olives and one person that hates them.
Uh-huh.
Do you like olives?
I love olives.
I hate olives. So see,
oh,
there we go.
Wow. Look at
I'm
us.
Also like, I'm also revealing that I weirdly hate a lot of foods, which I don't really, I have only a handful, but olives and papaya are one of them.
We've talked about all of them today. How do you feel about hickory? Talked about them.
I love jicama. Okay. Love, love, love.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
texture
that
is great.
Seems to be like divisive. I've been getting a lot of my friends onto the fruit cart because you can definitely come to the fruit cart with me when you visit.
Because
mango, there's cucumber. Yeah. You can get whatever you want. But I always get jicama and papaya, and all of my friends are like, not the two I would choose.
No, it is definitely not the two that I would choose. Okay.
What is your favorite treat?
My current favorite treat is the sour Scandinavian swimmers from Trader Joe's. I am obsessed with them. I cannot get enough of them, truly. I had been apart from Trader Joe's for a very long time.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
It was terrible. It was deeply terrible. And now I'm just like so excited to be back. But people had told me about these sour Scandinavian swimmers, and Trader Joe's has a lot of gummy offerings. And I find many of them, they're a mixed bag. Not all of them are good. And I like the original Scandinavian swimmers, but like, I think they're fine. I'm not like super excited about them. These sour ones are like life-changing, and they are just, I mean, I ate like a whole bag of them one day and I had terrible gummy tummy, but just they are, the texture is perfect. They're super sour. I love them. If you have not tried them and you like gummy candy, cannot recommend them enough.
I do. And I'm on it. And I, you know how I feel about Trader Joe's. I have a complex relationship with Trader Joe's. I get very overwhelmed, but I think here it's different. And in New York, the one by you, I was like, it's always so crowded. And then the pandemic, I was like, there's always a line, but now I'm going to give it a go, because every time I do go to Trader Joe's, I become like the trader, like being like, Can you believe how inexpensive that you, can you believe they have this? It's amazing. Can you believe this new product? Like I am like, it's, I've never been there before. So I really need to give it a proper go more frequently.
Yes. It's truly wonderful.
And those are the top of my list.
Favorite drink update. This was tailored specifically to Katie because she loves drinks so much.
Gosh,
and I think we spent
so
20 minutes in the first episode about drinks, but hit me with it.
Oh my God. My microphone just became like a karaoke mic. I'm like standing up. I am so excited right now to tell you my drink update. So please go back and listen to the 2019 version of this. I was really on one with the drinks that I was having around New York City at that time. And what's cool is that I've been to a lot of different places since then. And I am now in a new city and this is my drink situation now. I'm going to try to keep it tight the best I can. So I can't make any promises about this question though. So basically having a car, this is like my one, this is like a kind of strange thing. I love to like constantly have a drink in the car with me. Like that just feels really luxurious. And just water, water will do. But I like to be like just chugging something while I'm driving, like a tart kombucha even, or like, but that seems to really be a new found thing that I enjoy. But number one is every morning I go on a weird, they did an interview with me in the Creative Independent and I talked about this. And since then everyone's been asking me about this, but I go on like a weirdly long walk in the morning, just like so long that I start work pretty late, but I'm kind of working on this walk. But halfway when I get there, I get one cup of drip coffee with oat milk. And 3 years ago, I didn't even really drink coffee or caffeine. So I'm still kind of in the honeymoon with it. And I find this is like, speaking of anxiety, we've talked about this before, Serena and I, but if I have more than that, it's really not great for me. And it was kind of my drug of choice at the beginning of the pandemic, of like having more than one cup of coffee a day and just getting a little bit jacked on caffeine. But my one cup of coffee with oat milk seems to be perfect as I'm walking around. And something that helped me kind of get off that, like, because basically what happened was I was having one cup of coffee in the morning, going on this hike with the people that I lived with. And then the people that I lived with made a pot of coffee and there would be more. And so I would just have more when we got home, and it just kind of became this thing, and I wasn't eating enough. And it was cocktail for terrible anxiety and just wasn't great. But to kind of get me off that, when I moved into my apartment now, there's this place in my neighborhood that has dandy tea, like the
dandelion
blend. Yeah, dandy blend. Yeah. And I'd had it like many years ago. I used to try to make it for myself, but this place in LA, Kitchen Mouse, in my neighborhood, they have it there. And I just started to go, because really it was like I just wanted another thing to do in the afternoon. And that's when I started, just for a couple months, like I would have this dandy blend and I would walk there and I would go get it. And it was kind of my afternoon version of what I do in the morning. So I highly recommend dandy blend with a little bit of oat milk. And if you are in LA and in Highland Park and want to go to Kitchen Mouse, feel free to tell them that you want this drink, because I would get that, and they make their own like vanilla maple, and I would get just like a drop of that in there and take it to the park with me. And it was incredible. So feel free to give it a go. Tell them I sent you.
I will not be able to match that remote level of enthusiasm for the drinks.
You're going
to
be like, I like water.
Given that I continuously have my one cup of coffee every morning with half and half in Spunda, I will not be judged or swayed from this. But recently, I've been on a frozen cocktail kick.
Mm.
I started doing it as a series on Instagram, like Friday, Frozen Summer Fridays. And then I just became really into them in general. And we went to this restaurant called Cosme, which is basically very, very, very fancy and delicious Mexican restaurant in New York. And they had a frozen margarita on the menu. And I never would have ordered a frozen cocktail in a restaurant. And it was just awesome. And I don't know if it has to do with the heat or it kind of reminds me of Vegas. I don't know, but I love a frozen cocktail right now.
Well, we have another papaya olives in this friendship, because
no frozen drinks.
No. I always order the frozen drink. Like that's my go-to.
Well, I feel like it's one of those things, especially because like you've never been a heavy drinker. Mm-hmm. I think it's also like they go down very smoothly.
Really easy. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But also they're quite filling. But yeah. I really am all about the frozen cocktails these days.
I love that. And I'm so excited. I want to make a lot of them that you've made, this, especially the watermelon one.
The watermelon so one is good. Arguably the best one. So I would go with that one.
Okay, great. Can I just share one quick more drink thing? I know we're running out of time, but...
Yes, but you best keep it tight.
I will. I started working in a natural wine shop. So I just wanted to mention that I've been getting into natural wine and learning about wine. And it's been like a nice hobby of mine. Anyway.
That is super cool.
Now we really will keep these tight.
Last thing that made you cry.
Oh God. I don't know. I cry all the time. I think I cried out of like nostalgia and like romanticizing something. And I think I actually like someone I know of died and that made me cry. These are so heavy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's not even someone that I know. It was like, I definitely cried with that. I cry when I get overwhelmed. I cry a lot.
Yeah. I honestly, I cry a lot too, but I went to my first like event yesterday, and this will obviously be dated because this is not in real time. These episodes, yeah. People, I hate to break the third wall, but this will not be airing for quite some time. But anywho, I had not been to a concert or show or anything like that. And Logan surprised me with Springsteen on Broadway tickets, which I've wanted to see for years. I love Bruce and like, I just had always wanted to see it. And so it was my first, you know, outing. So true outing, so to speak. And I was kind of nervous about it, honestly, but I love live music and it was very much like top of the list of things that I really missed during the pandemic. And I feel extra grateful for now, but it was my first live music experience, like first event experience. And I had told Logan, I was like, I am going to be a disaster at whatever our first sort of event is. The lights went up and when people started cheering, I burst into tears, but like audible crying, not like a weep, like an audible cry. Like I fully lost my mind. And I imagine whenever this airs, I will have had some space from that, but I see myself continuing to have these sort of crying jags in quote unquote normal environments for a while, because it's kind of an emotional roller coaster. Like it feels like you were just at something like this, but you're also like overwhelmed with gratitude. And then you're also, I think it like reminds you of the things that you were missing this past year. And then like the togetherness of like the audience and the vibe. And I mean, also Bruce Springsteen, but like I lost my, like my eyes are swollen today from the amount of crying I did yesterday. So, I mean, talk about letting it out. But yes, that was my last cry.
Well, and you looked amazing while doing it, because this will lead into our next question. But Serena's outfit yesterday, if you're not following her on Instagram and missed that, I mean, that's a real travesty for you, because you looked so amazing.
Thank you, Katie. I warned everyone, like, I am going to be obnoxiously overdressed for the foreseeable future until I feel that I have gotten wearing all of my outfits out of my system that I've just been like waiting to wear. But the question, people, was what is your go-to piece of clothing? And I had to think really hard about this. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely I have one pair of jeans that like I just wear all the time, and they're Citizens of Humanity, like the style is Charlotte, but it's a high rise, like vintage pair, button fly pair of jeans. And like, they're a medium wash and they just kind of go with everything and they fit really well. And I literally, whenever I travel, I just bring like two or three bottoms, like two or three pairs of pants or like two pants and a skirt. And then just like a ton of tops, because they fold up so teeny tiny, right? And so like, you always really look like good. You're in a different outfit, but you're just wearing the same jeans with like a different shirt. So yes, that is my go-to. What is your go-to piece of clothing? I'm very interested in this, because I have some in my head and I don't know if that's what you would choose.
Well, you haven't seen me in 2 years, basically. That's true. Year and that's a half. But, God, it's so weird. Because if you are new here, I used to come over to Serena's apartment every morning and we would record this, or at once a week in the morning, and we would record this over Indecision Toast at her dining room table. That was our recording studio. And at the time, mostly in a lot of crop tops and high-waisted pants.
Indeed.
And LA me, I mean, dude, like right now I'm in my like go-to every day. It's like, I mean, I kind of wear my hiking out, my long walk outfit all day. I'm very into these Hokas that my friend who works there sent me, which is like, you know, those shoes everyone's wearing for walking. And they're like big and so comfortable. It feels like you're walking on the moon. So that's cool. And then it's still like a bunch of crop tops. And then I guess I guess I'll just quickly share this thing about the, I got this really great pair of jeans that my friend Christine and I think I've told you guys, we like share a closet basically because we're the same size. And I would always steal these jeans from her. And I finally bought a pair. It's the brand I and Me, and they have to ship from London. And I like, they're really, ooh, really soft. Kind of sounds like the pair that you have. And they're like, just, they were so good. Like I went out to like the first bar with my friends a couple weeks ago, and I had this really cool outfit on, or I thought it was pretty cool. It's like this jacket that I'd gotten at the Long Beach Flea, and like a crop top, and these new jeans and these new clogs that I had gotten, and they were long. And then this week I put them in the dryer and they're so short. I've ruined them. And it really is like an anxiety spiral for me of like losing something, ruining something. It really makes me upset with myself. Do you have that too?
When I ruin something?
Yeah, yes, or lose something.
I do it all the time because I refuse to wear aprons when I cook. And so I will like splatter blueberry on a white dress and be like, what the fuck were you cooking in a white dress? Like you deserve this.
Yeah. It's like, I wish I could be nicer about it to myself. And it's like, oh, just get a new one. It's like, yeah, but then there's shipping. And that's true. It's like, it's my own fault. Such a bummer, you know?
It's such a bummer.
Anyway, so that's my, like that was that. My go-to piece of clothing, but we'll see.
I like that. What is our next question here? Oh, biggest insecurity of the moment.
I mean, dude, I'm insecure about everything. I'm insecure about my work. I'm insecure about my appearance. I'm insecure about relationships. I mean, they're all kind of there. I don't know if honestly one is bigger than the other. I'll say this. I'm less insecure about my body than I've been before, which is good. And I'm more insecure about like, you know, the content of like how I'm acting in the world and wanting to make sure that I'm being kind and listening and slowing down enough and doing the correct thing and, you know, not disappointing people. I mean, just kind of a big, huge existential insecurity.
I get that. I have that too. I'm a hot mess of insecurities these days. Pandemic really did a number on me. Oh, can I just feed our joint insecurity? Because
oh, great.
To tell sure. you this, and this feels like the appropriate time. Recently, I went on to Spiraling on iTunes and I wanted to see if anybody had left reviews for us because sometimes they're so nice and they like make your day. And I hadn't read reviews in so long and it was a 1-star review.
Oh no, I hate this.
No, I know, but the subject line was something hilarious, like in all caps, like the vocal fry gives me anxiety. And then it was like, I couldn't even make it through the first 10 minutes of this podcast because the host's vocal fry is so insane that I couldn't even like manage to hear anything about anxiety through my anxiety over their voices. And it was like, too bad because the content seemed like it might be helpful. And I was like, oh dear God. Of all the things, I hadn't been worried about my voice recently, and now I'm self-conscious about my voice, which honestly, part of the reason I do have a sort of, I wouldn't even call it vocal fry, but it is like a deeper voice. But then I kind of dismissed it because you have a lovely voice. So they're just wrong. So I was like, if they can say this about Katie, then I'm like, perhaps I can just dismiss this because Katie has a lovely voice. If they had just been like, Serena's vocal fry gives me anxiety, then I would have like really felt that deep in my core. But I don't think you have vocal fry, so
well, we can thank dismiss. You.
But
it's funny because
voice anxiety, face anxiety, career anxiety, and I was so good on the insecurity front for a while, and now it's just I don't know. It'll pass. It always does. I feel like insecurity like ebbs and flows. And also to anybody listening, we're allowed to have insecurities. It really bothers me when people are like, oh my God, don't say that. You're amazing. Whatever it is, it's like we're allowed to be confident and also have insecurities. That is allowed and human. And it is, I think, very strange and inhuman to have no insecurities. To let them rule you is very bad, but to experience them, I think, is absolutely fine.
Yeah. And it's cyclical, you know, I think so much of it is like, I might go through a period where I'm like feeling pretty good about work, but my relationships are in a bad place, or my relationships are great, but like my work is a mess, or my, you know, there's always something. And I think if there's not, then you maybe are either not self-aware or a narcissist, or, you know, I think it's just kind of part of being here. And I love your voice. And there's just some things about ourselves that we can't change, that we just have to be like, okay, not for everybody.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Yeah, I like that.
Which is like so
perspective.
So hard to, I want to be for everybody at all times.
Same. Okay, rapid fire, favorite beauty or skincare product of the moment. Doesn't have to be all time.
I really need to be really into sunscreen here. So I've been using this, I think it's Ulta.
Oh, MD. I use that. I love that. Yeah. Great sunscreen.
I think that one's really good. And I like the Kosas lipstick. So those are, it smells really good and I really like it. Those are my two.
I think I am going to go. I got an LED mask finally caved cool. into the trend. And I really do think it's helping. I think it's like helping with like the texture of my skin. It feels like more smooth, and some of my hyperpigmentation. I don't have a ton of it, but it's like a band around my forehead, and it gets darker in the summer, even when I'm wearing a hat, just because the sun exposure, obviously. But I'm really loving that right now. And
is it like a light you sit under?
It's a mask I have. And if somebody is curious, that's listening, I can't remember if it's Skin Something Boost. Hold on, I'm actually sitting in front of my computer. It's the Boost LED mask by the Light Salon, and it's obnoxiously expensive. Mm-hmm. But the place I get facials had like recommended it to me, and you get 20% off during your birthday month. So I came.
Oh, cool.
But it's a portable mask, and it's flexible, so it kind of molds to your face, and you like strap it on with a Velcro band. So in theory, you can wander around with it, but I mostly just lie with my eyes closed for 10 minutes, and it is like a red light. It's very nice.
Cool.
Very relaxing.
I have really bad melasma on my upper lip that I'm self-conscious about that. I'm sure that would be helpful for
it. It might be helpful for that.
Getting darker every day when it's sunny every day and I'm outside.
Remember when I taught you the word for melasma?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Remember when you died? Remember how Serena's my skincare professional?
Oh God.
You did. Yeah. I remember. I was like getting in the elevator at your house and you're like, doesn't you know that's called melasma?
Yeah. Oh God. Okay, so this next question, somebody asked me for Q&A recently, and I think it's like the most interesting question ever. But when you wipe, when you go to the bathroom, do you crumple or fold the toilet paper?
I so want to be a folder, but I'm not.
I'm a crumpler.
Yeah,
I am a crumpler, but...
Does anyone fold?
Yes, Logan. And what? Then all of these people, when I said they were like, so somebody asked this for Q&A, I was like, are you a crumpler or folder? And what is Logan? Because she was very funny, but she's like, based on my research, like
totally
opposites attract. So like in that frame. And then we've started asking everyone we know this, and it is kind of true. Like there's usually one person in the couple is a folder and one's a crumpler. And like, I think it also says so much about our personalities, but weirdly also women tend to be the crumplers.
Right.
But then this has sparked
that.
So
I was just
going
to say, yeah, that so really many, makes sense.
Yeah. It sparks so many like hilarious discussions because you think you know someone and then you find out that they're like a full, like Logan folds like three separate little like things and then stacks them. I thought he was like a sociopath the first time I saw it. I was like, are you okay? Like what is that for? And then he was equally horrified that I crumpled the paper. He's like, it's so wasteful. How do you actually get your butt clean? I don't know. It was a nutsy. It's a very
so funny
crazy thing. But
I have so many thoughts on this actually, because now it seems really clear to me. Like it does seem very gendered, because I think I pee, especially in the mornings, like every 10 minutes. Like, I feel like I always have to go. So it's like a real quick thing. It's just like, I'm drinking a lot of water, drinking coffee, and I go and it's quick and I just quickly crumple. But I feel like if you're standing and going to the bathroom and doing like a shake, like you wouldn't you don't use toilet paper as often. So you can have the luxury of the time to sit there for a moment and fold. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%.
So it makes more sense.
Also, how do you know how much you're going to need? Like, right. I don't know. It just, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we are aligned on Crumple.
Okay.
Good. Okay. And this is one that I heard and you said it was good, but to me, and I'm interested why you think it's good. Cause to me, it seems so clear and like, it's like such a clear answer.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Okay. Green lights. Okay. Sorry. Would you rather have green lights always, every time, no matter what, or never have to wait in a line again, like a standing line?
I mean, I would never want to wait in the standing line.
Really?
Wait, are you the other one?
100%. I would prefer.
I think that is coming from somebody who drives a lot. Like now I drive more, but like up until this past year, I almost never drove. So like I wouldn't benefit from the lights as much. And traffic is terrible, but like, sometimes I see long standing lines and I think I also just wear really uncomfortable shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe I need to give this more thought, but when I heard it, I was like, oh, I would obviously, I kind of like lines. Like a lot can happen in line. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You might make a friend. You might like, you can like sit and like read or like be on your phone or like lines aren't so bad. You're standing, you've got whatever you want with you. Green lights, like, you know, I don't mind lines that much. And green lights, like, you know, I'll take them. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Olives and papaya and green
olives
lights.
Olives and papaya and green lights.
Okay.
Should we end with this one? Because I think it's a good one to end on. Something that inspired you recently.
Okay. This is great. I really am excited to tell you this, actually. So I heard this from my friend Val, and she co-hosts with her husband, Pete, this podcast that's very famous, You Made It Weird. And she's been in the episodes on Fridays with him. And they were talking about how they were talking about manifestation. And they were like, there's this funny thing from Eckhart Tolle, I think in one of his books, or maybe he just said it, where he has this line where he says, cause they were kind of talking about like how manifestation is kind of like, okay, cool. Sometimes that can be useful to set goals and whatever, and like blessings to anyone it's helpful for, like, great. But I think as someone who, as we've discussed here before, and Serena was like jokingly alluding to, I can tend to be a magical thinker and, you know, a romantic and nostalgic and all the things. And what he said was, who are you to think you know what you want? And like, in terms of manifestation, isn't that good? And I haven't stopped thinking about it because there's a million examples in my life, and I'm sure you have a million, Serena, and I'm sure everyone listening does, but like one that like really comes to mind right now is I always wanted to move to New York. Like moving to New York was like my goal, it's all I ever wanted as a child and, you know, forever. And it took me a really long time to do it. I had no plans to move to California. I could never have conceived of my life here. So many wild things have happened and none of this was on a vision board. None of it was like even in the realm of like possibility for me. And I would have missed that if I was so focused on like manifesting something. I didn't know what was best for me, you know? And I think it's like a kind of grounded thought, but it's also kind of like the most esoteric spiritual thought, you know, at the same time. Yeah. And I just really like that. And it inspired me.
I love that.
Does that feel true for you too?
Yes, that feels very true for me because literally no sort of change in my life or in my personally or professionally has ever been anticipated or what I wanted, so to speak. Like we talked about this at one point, like Logan on paper is like not somebody I would have chosen for myself. The Dude Diet was a one-off post that turned into two books. Like, this class business came from me teaching, you know, two classes that I thought were just to like keep people entertained for the week. Like nothing I have ever planned out for myself has actually worked out.
Yeah, same. And I think we had a really good conversation.
We had good things, yeah.
Yeah, we had a conversation about this last week in our planning talk of like, I was kind of updating Serena about my work and like a new project. Well, just doing these creative consultation sessions and working with people one-on-one. And I wouldn't have done that if everything else was flowing in a way that like I didn't need to do that, but I love doing it now. And it's actually been really good for me. And so sometimes these things that like you kind of do because of one reason, like the pandemic for you or whatever it is for so many people, end up being really great. And it's just like the quote is really like following what is working instead mm-hmm. of like wishing for something different or to be different.
Yeah. I really like that.
What is inspiring you?
So just to go back to my Bruce show last night, one of the things that made me cry, I have these sometimes, and I know that, do you ever have that feeling where you're like, you know, they say the same thing in every show, but it just, you feel like it's special for you.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I went to a Jay-Z concert and he gave this speech where he was like, everybody in this room has genius level talent. You just have to know what your genius is. Like we don't, you maybe don't recognize it, but everybody has genius level talent in one area. And I got like full body goosebumps and like started crying. And Logan was like, are you kidding? Like he definitely says that every fucking show, but like, there's no,
love that.
I don't care. But similarly last night, Bruce Springsteen was like, I just want to say as a performer, and he was kind of talking about this in the context of the pandemic, but also in the context of his life, is he was like, every person has an audience essentially. And obviously a performer's audience tends to be bigger, but like every person has an audience, and that audience, he's like, I just want to thank my audience for giving my life purpose. And I think I read into it more than he meant it to, but I do think it kind of applies to like every person's life. Like maybe your audience is just your friends, or maybe yeah. it's your spouse, or maybe it's your family. But I think having gratitude and really recognizing the purpose, like that, you know, he was referring to the fact that he was like, thank you for letting me do the thing that I love and giving meaning to my whole life. And he's fucking Bruce Springsteen, so that makes a lot of sense. But it then made me really, I went into a sort of a happy existential spiral of being like, wow, you know, for example, in an hour and a half, I'm going to teach a class of 200 people how to do something that I love and that they're all going to be excited about because they signed up to give up 90 minutes of their day to spend time with me while I like show them how to grill pork chops. And I don't know, it made me rethink some of the things that I sometimes feel are mundane, or there's a little bit of drudgery attached, or sometimes even a like, ugh, I have to make sure that I have time to, I don't know, even like record my Friday frozen cocktail this week. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, like I just feel really lucky to have people who show up and are excited to do these things with me and give me a reason to continue to do these things that I actually do really enjoy and am good at. And I don't know, it just, a lot of feelings there, but both the Jay-Z thing and the Bruce thing, I really feel inspired by those.
Thank you for sharing that. That was so good. I mean, I really feel like that too, of like, again, what we were talking about last week, I guess it was a spiraling call because we keep calling back to it, but we were just catching up on work things that worked and didn't work and vulnerably sharing with each other. And I think we both, and we've talked about this for sure in our social media episodes and just on this podcast in general. And like, sometimes I think doing something that like what both of us do in different ways and at different scales is like, God, does anybody care about what I make? You know, and like, should I keep going? And the truth is you should keep going if it feeds you. And if it does, then it's likely to feed at least somebody else. And even like what Bruce said about, it's essentially like reading the room. You know what I mean?
It is. Like, yeah.
There's a time and place where like, you know, if you have something, you know, when intuitively like, okay, I'm not going to like, my friend is going through it, I'm not going to like step in there, or like, I have something I think I can help, you know, like the kindest thing is like someone sending you a text that like just makes them think of you. And that's like, hey, this book made me think of you. Or like, they don't want yes. anything back from that. It's just like, at that moment, they are your audience and you are connecting with them. And no matter what career you do, I think everyone, like you said, has an audience to be able to be useful and to connect or be kind or make someone laugh. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important.
I love that.
I'm glad that resonated with you too.
Yeah. I love you. I love doing this so much. You. I'm so you excited guys. For season three.
Happy season three. We will resume regularly, you know, formatted spiraling episodes next week. But thank you for being here. Like we said, go back and listen to the first episode of season one. If you enjoyed this, we do a lot more deep dives into silly questions, but also who we are in that mm-hmm. episode. Come hang out with us on social media or on our website. Subscribe to Katie's newsletter. I'm just going to pump all of your things oh, right great. Now. She has a wonderful newsletter. She also has a whole separate podcast without my voice on it. My vocal fry is giving
there me is a great episode with Serena's voice on it that if people want to learn more about Serena, I highly recommend.
And if you have anything that you want us to address specifically, or you just, you know, want to reach out, never hesitate to reach out. You can find us on Instagram or you can email spiralingcommunity@gmail.com. Shall we disclaim?
Yes, but first I just want to say also, please get obsessed with Serena. And if you are someone coming from me, sign up for her cooking classes, watch her Q&As and everything she does on Instagram. It's solid gold. She's my favorite she's my favorite influencer and influences me all the time. And it's really comforting. Like whenever I feel lonely, I will just watch Serena's Instagram stories and Q&As. And respond to every frame.
And respond to every frame. I love you. Okay. Are we doctors, Katie?
Unfortunately, we are not.
We are not mental health professionals or experts of any kind. We are just two friends sharing our experiences with anxiety.
If you are struggling with your mental health, we strongly encourage talking to a professional.
We love therapy.
We really, really do. We've dedicated several episodes to it.
And remember, if you're spiraling, you are not alone. You are not weird or damaged or crazy. And you don't owe anyone an explanation for your mental health. And we love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.